Welcome to Crossroads, the infrastructure podcast. I am Eva Llorens, senior reporter for Latin America at Infralogic. Our guests for today are from the Inter-American Development Bank. Our first guest is Gaston Artesiano, head of public-private partnerships, one-stop shop in the infrastructure and energy sector at the Inter-American Development Bank, where he has been since 2007. He has also a law degree from Catholic University in Argentina. Meanwhile, our second guest is Maria Pilar Castrocin, senior associate at IDB, where she works at the IDB PPP single window with focus on the development and strengthening of regulatory and institutional frameworks for the implementation of PPPs. She is also a published author of two PPP books. Today, we will be talking about InfraScope, a tool developed by the IDB related to the development of PPPs. Welcome, all of you, to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Eva, for inviting us today. It's a pleasure for us to talk about the InfraScope. It's a flagship publication for the Inter-American Development Bank.
And Mr. Gaston Artesiano, I'm going to start with you. First of all, what is InfraScope and what is the objective of InfraScope?
The InfraScope is an index developed by the Inter-American Development Bank and the Economist Impact to make a diagnostic of the enabling environment for the development of efficient and sustainable public-private partnerships in economic and social infrastructure in Latin America and the Caribbean. The Inter-American Development Bank and the Economist Impact have different roles in this endeavor. On one hand, the methodology was developed by the Inter-American Development Bank and the Economist Impact together. This is an index that has also been applied to other regions in the developing world. And through different years, we have been enhancing the methodology. And we have different roles in this two-year work we do for the InfraScope. During the implementation of each edition, together with the Economist Impact, we work together. Our partner collects the information, and we are the guardians of the methodology, and that the methodology is used according to how it was aimed to be. So first, the methodology design following international best practices, which is the most important part for us in order to be able to gather evidence on the application and the implementation of these best practices. And then the analysis of the reality of every single country business environment, which differs from not only the legal and the institutional arrangements, but also by their own experience in attracting private sector investment to the infrastructure sector.
I'm going to go with you, Pilar. Could you provide specifics about this new website?
Sure. Thank you so much for the question, Eva. This new edition of the InfraScope that we presented in October last year includes also a new website. This new website provides a much more friendly and interactive experience for the user. The user will have access to the highlights of the key findings of the report. There is a report that has the regional results for the 26 countries that we evaluate. And of course, you can download this report, but also you're going to have some highlights there where the user can interact with. The user also can interact with the ranking of the new edition, highlighting each country and seeing the details for each category score and ranking. Also, the user can highlight, for example, one country, which not only shows the results for the index for this edition, but also the country summary with information about the macro environment, the PPP investment per sector, an overview of the PPP market and the different regulatory developments and performance across the index, plus a new section that all these country summaries has this year that is the top five recommendations for improvement, which is very useful to guide policymakers in what they can do to improve their enabling environments for the preparation of PPPs. Another interesting feature is the website. In the website is the recent progress section where you can see the evolution of the index in the last two editions. So the last two editions share the same methodology. And now in this website, you can compare these two editions and highlight the countries and see overall scores or the results for each category. And finally, as in previous editions, the user will also have access to download, as I said, the key finding report, the methodology appendix, and the data book to go deeper into the result of the index.
Pilar, would you explain briefly the criteria used for this study?
Sure, yeah. The criteria that we use here in the InfraScope is that the index is built with qualitative and quantitative metrics. And these are organized in five categories. First, we have regulation and institutions. Second one is project preparation and sustainability. Third, financing, risk management, and contract monitoring. And finally, a new category that is incorporated for the first time in the past edition, performance evaluation and impact ex post.
Could you provide an example as to how this will work when you select a country so that it's clear for our listeners?
Sure, of course. So in regulations and institutions, the index is going to be focused on finding a mandate. This is finding, for example, a policy or a law that allows a country to implement PPP type of contracts, public-private partnerships or concessions. So that's the first part of regulations. Also, these regulations will have details about how the institutions that needs to be created specific for the treatment of PPPs or the institutions, for example, the Ministry of Finance and Economics Affairs that need to control, for example, the liabilities that the type of project generate. So these laws, this policy will explain in detail all the process that needs to be followed to identify and prepare a PPP project, how this project should be put in the market through a public and international bidding process, and so on. The second category, the project preparation and sustainability here, is focused on doing a zooming in the preparation of the projects. So you will see how the project is selected, if there is methodologies to apply to each project, if this is consistent with different projects in different sectors, how these projects are selected, how these projects are evaluated to see if the PPP modality is the best in each case on each project. And finally, all the studies that are needed from the technical point of view, the legal point of view, the social and environmental point of view. And here in this category, the index also add focus on sustainability, on social considerations, on inclusion, on consultations with communities, risk of disasters, and so on that are related with the sustainability and the long term of the contract. Then when you go to financing, here the index evaluate different type of finances that I use in PPP contracts. One that is very typical is project financing, but also there are other modalities that can be implemented. So the index evaluate and see which countries implement what kind of financing. And also this category has big component on macroeconomic characteristics of the country that also affects the ability of the country to prepare projects and to put projects in the market and these projects a probability to be successful. Then related to risk management and contract monitoring, this is a very important also together with project preparation, very important category that is not only a requirement for the countries to evaluate and assess the risk present in each project and assess how this risk should be allocated between the public and the private party, but also that this is reflected correctly in the contracts. And of course, another part that is also very important for success of a PPP is the contract monitoring. During the life cycle of a PPP project, of course, you have the private sector that will have a lot of responsibilities, but the public sector has also a lot of responsibilities. And here it's very important that the public sector has the capacities and the necessary methodologies and tools to do a proper monitoring of the contract. And finally, the last category is performance evaluation and impact exposed. This is a category that we will see after in the results. But here we are trying to see if the countries are evaluating the projects once those projects are being operative or finalized, to see if the objectives that the project had were accomplished or not, and how we can extract lessons learned for those past projects for the future generation of projects. So it's very important also to keep working on this category.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Castro-Singh. I'm going to go back to Mr. Astesiano. Could you elaborate on the main findings of the study, Mr. Astesiano?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Eva, for such an important question. As we can see over the years, we have been expanding the countries we are making the diagnostic, and we have been moving from almost the entire region to the full 26 member countries of the IDB. As we move along, we see more and more interest in implementing transsexual PPPs in the region. Most of the countries have already approved specific laws, which have been already sometimes enhanced with new, let's say, institutional devices that allow a more successful implementation of the PPPs. And together with the sophistication of the PPP market in Latin America, we have been sophisticating also the analysis of the business environment, moving along since 2020 with new categories, as Pilar was mentioning, and to expanding to social infrastructure, focusing more in sustainability and environmental and social issues regarding infrastructure projects, and also long-term monitoring and ex-post evaluation. This last edition also have included 5 case studies, and these case studies are meant to identify success stories and to generate a body of knowledge and evidence on how successful PPPs are implemented from the countries that are more advanced and also for the newcomers. So this new edition has case studies in the enabling environment for the case of Jamaica, Chile, Panama, Paraguay, and Peru.
Okay. Let me go back to Pilar. What are some of the challenges that different countries have to overcome to be able to do more public-private partnerships?
Thank you for the question, Eva. As I was mentioning, the index has key finding report. And based on this key finding report, this report explains as a region on average, what are the several areas where we can find room for improvement. I can mention, for example, one area that several countries need to work, and it is improving the capacities of the institutions involved in the process of identification, preparation, and procurement of public-private partnership projects. To mention, of the 26 countries that are evaluated in the index, just half of them have PPP units. This is institutions that has the task to centrally overview the development of PPPs in the country with the right capacity. So half of the 26 countries have these units with the right capacities. So that is an area that as a region will be good to keep working on. Another one that is important is the efficiency of the project preparation. And this can be measured as the share of tendered public-private partnerships reaching financial close every year. And this number, that is around 60%, has been the same in the edition 2021 and in this new edition that takes data from 2023 to 2024. And here, there are several reasons, but I would like to focus on one that I was also mentioning when I was explaining the categories, that is the lack of clear and consistent planification that affects the preparation of the projects. So it's lack of clear and consistent planification, lack of methodologies for prioritization PPP projects, lack of inclusion of sustainability criteria, and considerations in selection and preparation of public-private partnerships. So there is a lack of methodologies in general that, together with the lack of capacities that I was mentioning in the first point, makes that the preparation of projects still has a lot of room for improvement in the region. And it's an area that all the countries should keep working. Also, the area of evaluation of impact and performance is an area that most of the countries doesn't have an institution that take care of this. The regulations around PPP doesn't ask for the institutions to perform this type of studies. So it's a missing opportunity here of learning from the past experiences and incorporating the lessons learned to the future project. And finally, and I mentioned a little bit about this, but it's the incorporation of sustainability criteria in the PPP frameworks and also in the PPP contracts as well. Here we are talking about social inclusions, environmental inclusions, also inclusion itself of different groups that needs to be represented in the since the preparation of the project and included in the benefits that this project brings to the communities.
Thank you very much. This question is for Mr. Astesiano, but Pilar, you can also contribute. I just wanted to know if you have any predictions as to what we can expect to see in terms of the use of public-private partnerships, perhaps based on what you have already done. Maybe if you can talk about which countries do you expect will be able to do better or worse. If you can elaborate a little, whatever you can say, I would appreciate it very much. Let's start with you, Mr. Astesiano.
Thank you very much, Eva. We have been witnessing as a trend in the region. We see a region with an infrastructure gap in investment and maintenance. And PPPs, when well implemented, are a very efficient tool for not only attracting private capital and management to infrastructure assets and services, but also optimizing the investment envelope of the countries for infrastructure. And in that way, helping to bridge that infrastructure gap that our region is facing to actually reach the sustainable development goals. What we have been seeing is a region that has been expanding the use of the tool, not only to new markets. For example, in last years, we have seen an increase in the Caribbean by 14% since the last edition. And we expect that trend to continue in new editions. And that has meant 160 billion new investment in projects, which is 25% increase, reaching 650 projects in the entire region. We see a trend that from 2014 to 2023 has grown 25% and has the potential to keep growing in those levels. Another trend I would say we are witnessing is an increase of different countries creating or pursuing PPP programs. Here is very important the word programs. It says it's not a one-off project, but rather a public strategy, a public policy strategy to attract the private sector to a particular sector or to a particular infrastructure service to mobilize private capital to those sectors. We are seeing new dynamic programs in Panama, in Paraguay, upstream work in Costa Rica, in Belize, in Ecuador. So we are confident that this trend will consolidate. We, for example, are also seeing the most developed programs in the region, like Brazil, Chile, Peru, Colombia, moving to new sectors. We are seeing a higher demand or a higher application of PPP models to the health sector. This was very, very present during and after the COVID-19 pandemic, where we saw how the lack of availability of beds in the public hospitals was one of the bottlenecks to treat the pandemia. And since that, we have worked together with Peru in two hospitals, Piura and Chimbote, but Chile has successfully awarded a very large program, 18 hospitals, and we are working together with several states in Brazil in that area. This is probably a sector that will grow and we will be able to be replicated by the new countries. For example, Colombia is considering to expand to the social sector as well. Also, another sector that has been growing in very particular countries is the water and sanitation sector. The water and sanitation sector It's a sector that has a very large infrastructure gap to reach the sustainable development goal. And we, with the new sanitation regulatory framework in Brazil, we see a lot of demand and appetite for the private sector to participate. We, together with ProInversion, were able to award the water treatment plant for the municipality of Chincha 3 weeks ago. And this is part of a program of 7 water treatment plants in Peru where we are working together with ProInversion. So I would say these trends of new countries implementing programs, new sector in the well-established programs, and more appetite from the public sector to mobilize private capital is here to stay. And that's why a tool like the InfraScope provides fantastic evidence on what are the best practices and what are the key of success and what are the lessons learned from the more advanced countries to feed back into the newcomers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us, Eva. It was a pleasure for us.
This is Eva Llorens. Thank you very much for listening to Crossroads. And please support Crossroads by sharing, downloading, and liking our podcasts.